Hi, and welcome to Queers and Soaps. We're back with another General Hospital edition from 1981, October 23rd to October 30th. Karen's with me as usual. Tommy over all the credits, and we'll get into it. All right, so my first fact of the day is which I wanted to talk about last week, but we missed an episode. Well, I missed an episode. So I have Susan Pratt played Ann Logan from 78 to 82, and may have made a reappearance in 1986 for some reason. She
this
was listed.
On the show. It happens.
Yeah. So Anne really didn't do much from what I read. She dated three men and rolled out. So I don't even know why she came back.
A big part of her storyline was basically that she was a virgin and didn't want to give it up and kept losing her men over it.
Yeah, but she wasn't related to anyone that we know of.
No, she was a nurse at the hospital. She was in love with Joe. She was in love with Jeff. She adopted Jeremy. Like there's really, she doesn't do much of anything at all.
Well, it's no wonder why she left and did all these other soaps. She went and she played Claire from On Guiding Light from 83 to 86 and 2000 to 2002. She went on All My Children and played Barbara from 87 to 91, 95, 97, 98, and 2007. And she played Elizabeth on Loving from 94 to 95 and Charlotte on As the World Turns. So she had quite the career after General Hospital. But General Hospital was her first one.
Yeah, but the weird part about it is she's a really good actress. Like, we see her this week making some really nice moves and doing some good work as an actress. But, like much like Rose Kelly, I don't know the name of the actress who plays Rose Kelly, she gets nothing to do. She's just sort of a standby character.
Yeah, well, it seems like she did with Hutch. It seemed
seconds.
Like there was a little something, and then with Dante, which what we see in 1983 for 5 seconds.
I wish I could remember the actress's name, but she did say the reason she left the show was because they basically never gave her a real storyline, which is a reason a lot of actors believe. Yeah, and she was important. Right, yeah. It sucks that they waste these characters because they're just relegated to the background.
It's like she's like on a lot, but doesn't do much of anything in her own storyline. It's sad.
Yeah, it is sad because she's talented. I mean, I think both girls are very talented, and to see them just languish there on the back burner is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, she's more like a side character. Really didn't have too many main storylines from what we saw anyway. Mm-hmm. So we start General Hospital, October 23rd, 1981. Yeah, it's all about this wedding. Right. Wedding, wedding, wedding.
It's obsessive. It is
very obsessive. Really don't have too much on this. They have, we have Luke goes for another job. They want him to be an ambassador at a restaurant, which I don't know what that is.
Basically, lead waiter? They wanted a mascot. They wanted someone who would be in all the promotional materials and things like that. And Luke, like, he cottons on to that right away. And he's like, why would you want my ugly mug on your promotional materials?
Right.
Like, he just can't seem to get how famous he is. It's weird for him. He likes the adventuring, but he doesn't like the resulting attention. Robert's much the same way. Like, he also doesn't want the attention.
We also have a lot of Laura going to Joe about these damn divorce papers. They're not there yet. I think Scotty changed his mind. Mm-hmm. Luke gets a little crazy. Apparently they said that they're still on the mail. Leah's around at one point. He overhears, he walks out all angry after she says, I just want to marry the man I love.
Yes.
I'm loving Lee in these episodes though, by the way. He's great.
He's killing it. Like, he is killing it.
Killing it.
In this town of everybody loving Luke and Laura, here is this one man who hates them with a fiery passion, so much so that it's like destroying him inside. And yeah, it's an incredible amount of acting that's being done in very little moments, in very tight like moments where like you just see him pause with rage and you're like, wow, that's acting. Like, that's incredible acting. You feel it. You feel his rage.
It's really good. And it's also like I only knew him as like this nice man in later years because, you know, they don't write for them anymore in later years too much. So they're just like the nice old guy in town.
Yeah, but this is like an edge to him. But he was a massive character. He had a drinking problem. His relationship with Scotty has always been rocky. Like, he's a powerhouse. Like, I hate this about
for sure.
And I love it. Like, I love that they keep the older generation on, but they do tend to mellow them out and push them to the sides eventually. Because even now, Steve Hardy is getting the same treatment. He's there, but who cares, right? He's not really doing anything.
And he is like the General Hospital.
He's the man for General Hospital. But yeah, I am excited that Lee is getting this amount of airtime and this amount of stuff to do.
The Beecher's Corners ladies are back. Laura sees them. Did they set a date yet? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Luke gets there. Luke and Laura tell... Luke and Laura tell Mrs. Whitaker they are glad that they helped them. Without them, they'd be screwed. Luke is still mad about the papers not being there. It's just really focuses on all that stuff like throughout these episodes, I feel like.
Do not skip the best part of this episode.
What is it about the town and Luke and Laura?
It's about
it is, you can say it.
Laura slaps Luke in the face in this episode.
When did she stop him?
So, towards the end of the episode, he is so angry about these divorce papers. Because literally, Laura's manic. She's running to Joe, like you said. And she's upset because she did everything right. And they still don't have the divorce papers. And it's in the mail. Right. And Luke gets it into his head that because of the situation with the cigar band, where she pushed the cigar band on off and denied that they were together, he's insecure. So he thinks that she didn't get the divorce. And this is like a rehash of that. But it's kind of like vague because everyone at the time would have known that. And she calls, she says, I've done everything right. And he calls her a liar. And when he calls her a liar, she belts him in the mouth. And I laughed so hard because she rocked him. Like, she is tiny. And she hit him so hard. And they raged at each other. And it was so ridiculous. And I think, was it...
I remember the rage. I just don't remember the hit for some reason.
Oh, man. She hit him. And then Mrs. Whitaker was like, what are you doing? And they're like, there's probably not going to be a wedding because they're like raging at each other. And she's like, well, what happened with calling Mexico? And Laura explains the whole situation. And she's like, just you call Mexico. And I'm like, what's the point in this? Why call Mexico? But I know what she meant. She wanted Luke to hear them say that they sent the divorce papers. And as soon as that happened, all the kind of insecurity drained out of him. And they had this cute moment where they had to apologize to one another.
Yeah.
And she basically is like, I'm not apologizing you. Like, you called me a liar. And he's like, you hit me. And she's like, yeah, well, you called me a liar because he basically deserved it. And then when they make up, she kisses him and he winces because she hit him hard in the face. And this is incredible. Like, for the time, like, she does not take his shit. Like, when he gets crazy and manic and starts going all over the place, like, she will knock him right down. And I think he needs that sometimes. And like, I'm not a big fan of violence, but it's a soap opera, so get over it. It was just really, really
there's been funny. Worse. There's been worse.
It was super funny to me. If I live beneath one of our other co-hosts, and if she heard that, I'm sorry. Because I screamed. I was like, she hit his dumb ass. I was screaming. I loved it.
Great. We have a bunch of Heather and Rose in it. Heather's
a pushover. Heather just tells her what she's doing. She doesn't.
Yeah, they don't really do too much. Joe is with Ramsey. They talk about the dude being the thief that's the killer. And they're saying the thief's not a killer. They're like trusting the thief for some reason, Ramsey is.
I don't know if he's trusting him or if he's using him to kind of rule out things because
rule out.
he still believes that Heather did it. And Joe is in his face going, you can't blame Heather for everything, blah, blah, blah. And then they're going to do a sound lineup to
because
he heard somebody yell stop. And this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Me too. I'm like, I never would have known. I'm like, I would have had zero idea.
Yeah. So he's just like, yeah, bring Heather, get Anne. We're going to do this nonsense.
Who are like enemies? I guess because she was dating Jeff, right? I guess she was dating Jeff after Heather did. So maybe Heather, they have animosity.
A lot of things Heather has done that we probably won't cover because it happened earlier. But Anne and Heather, they fought over a man, basically. And Heather like has a son, and there's a lot going on, but Anne does hate Heather. And the animosity is funny because Heather tries to act like she's sweet while she's getting digs in all the time. So it's very funny, and Joe sees right through it.
Right.
Other notes about this episode, I liked Bert saying that he gets vibrations about things, and Joe calling him out, being like, what, he was psychic now? And he's like, no, I'm not just psychic, but I get feelings about things, and I got good vibrations about this idea. And I was like, Bert is hilarious.
Right.
And Claudia and the corn shine, that was cute when they had the Whitakers brought big baskets of goodies.
Yeah, the apple butter.
Yeah, I make apple butter. It's fun. And then they pull out like a big bottle of clear liquid, and it's moonshine, basically.
Where were they with that? Were they at the clinic?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell where they were.
They met Leslie at the clinic, and then they tried to use moonshine to dose patients.
I thought the clinic didn't come till later, but maybe they were like fixing it because it got attacked. I don't remember.
No, they've been in the clinic for a while.
They've been in the clinic.
Yeah, the clinic existed before Ice Princess, so they've been in the clinic for a while. It's like Rick's pet project.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, how crappy is that? To have to work at General Hospital, then work at the clinic, and then...
They wanted to do that, though, because the clinic is basically like our...
To help the poor.
Yeah, to help the poor. So a lot of them donate their time at the clinic a couple hours a week here and there, mostly the Leslie and Rick, but also Monica goes there, Alan goes there. All of them do that pro bono work because it's a bad neighborhood.
So it's like an early urgent care.
Yeah, except like
before urgent cares were around.
They most likely weren't charging them. It was most likely a free clinic. And it was that's why they get very upset later on when they do start attacking the clinic, because this is a bad neighborhood. Well, not a bad neighborhood, but, you know, like a low income neighborhood.
And
there's not much there for these people. And the clinic is a major part of making sure those people maintain healthcare.
Yeah. My only other notes for this were Robert and Tiffany were on a little bit. They didn't really do too much. They did was that the jewelry one?
Yeah, they went to see
jewelry.
Yeah, with Benny the Fence. We've seen Benny before, and
I remember him.
Benny is very much trying to get the lowest amount of money.
Yeah, that was funny.
The funny thing about that scene is, like, Tiffany comes in with a bunch of jewelry on and doesn't want to give up any of it. And Robert talks her into giving it up and then charges, I believe, $900.59.
Yeah, so she wants 4,000 for it. Yeah, but, so yeah, they end up
with the 900.
Haggling. Right.
Yeah. And he adds 59 cents as
59 cents for his commission. Yeah.
And that was cute. I like that. Most of this is just everybody like hanging out at Kelly's, back and forth with Kelly's, and wanting to plan the wedding and basically bullying Luke and Laura about having a big wedding.
Yeah. Emma Lutz or whatever is her name. And Lila end up going to lunch or something. She asks her to go.
So Lila and Emma are at the beauty salon.
Yeah.
At the same time. They happen to just be coming out of the beauty salon at the same time. And Emma strikes up a conversation with Lila. And Lila is awesome because she doesn't know this woman from Adam. And she just goes, oh, we'll go to lunch. And she goes, oh, well, my car's around the corner. And she goes, no, we'll go in my limo. And then I'll have my chauffeur drop you off later. And somehow this lunch, because she's never been to Kelly's. Everyone always talks about Kelly's.
Yeah, I was surprised at that, too. I'm like, she didn't know Rose? I'm like, that's interesting. Because you would think they'd be connected somehow, but I guess not.
Those people are poor. How would Lila have ever met any of them?
I don't know. I just figured everybody knew each other in town.
Lila, I believe at this point, has only been on since 80. So she's really been in the mansion. And then she was off for a while.
I thought the Quartermains came in 78.
I don't think Lila's been on that long. But, I mean, we can look that up later. But
maybe she came later.
She came later. So she just goes, oh, I hear about Kelly's all the time, so I want to go. And she tells Emma to call ahead and make a reservation. And she's like, oh, Mrs. Quartermain, I don't think that's the kind of place that makes reservations. And the funny thing about it is Lila is having a ball. No matter where she is or what she's doing, she's having the best time ever. And Edward's in Paris, so she doesn't care what he thinks. And she goes to like the local dive bar and she just gets wrapped up in the wedding planning.
I guess we either missed an episode where he went to Paris, but I guess he went to Paris to look into, is that where Alexandra came from?
He went there to check on the original version of the will because he's trying to get the company away from Lila.
So is she from there?
I think she had holdings. She had holdings. Okay. She may have lived there for a while and come back because she's a Quartermain, so she's from here.
All right, so we're on October 26th,
1981. Okay.
Which is my mom's birthday, October 26th. So, so we'll go back to the Heather stuff. Ramsey asked the ladies if they've seen that dude before. Heather said she never saw him. Then they invite Anne to go out, her and Joe, to go out to lunch or whatever. I don't even know where they went. Where were they at?
So, first off, they went there to do the screaming thing.
Right, which we talked about already.
Yeah, but when it came down to it, they asked the girls after if they had ever seen the man. But in the screaming lineup, the guy ended up picking out three people, Heather, Anne, and a cop. And he finally settled on the cop. So they dismissed the whole thing. Right. So Joe took Anne, well, they kind of bullied Anne into going. But they took Anne and Heather to, I think they went to the Floating Rib because they were at an Italian restaurant. So
I wasn't sure where they were.
So they went there and tried to have a nice meal together, but Heather and Anne cannot get along at all. And it's kind of funny because Joe is sitting in the middle going, I want my girlfriend to be friends with my friend. And they hate each other. And they're taking kind of soft digs at each other. And Heather's being very sweet and honeyed about stabbing her. And Anne finally loses her shit and just leaves. And I was like, this is great acting. I love this.
And it started out with like, Heather was like, let's have a truce. And then, it doesn't go that way at all.
Did she really want a truce though? Because then she was needling her about Jeff. She was needling her about the babies. She was being
exactly
awful, but in the best way. In the best way.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
And we did miss an episode because they do like whatever's happening with Bobby and Noah seems to be like I had to piece together.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute, because I don't think there was more about this wedding stuff. Same thing. 3 days after the divorce, they're supposed to be getting married, whenever those papers come.
This comes up a lot. If it sounds like we're droning on a little bit about it, it's because it's every scene and every character.
Yeah, it's so every episode. It gets
to
be
a little much when you're watching a bunch of episodes back-to-back. In their defense, this was the biggest television event that had ever occurred at that time. So this is all worthy buildup.
This is the buildup, yeah.
We're just from the future.
So, Luke and Laura are getting, like, annoyed, I guess, with everybody talking shit. I have, like, the town is talking because they're all at Kelly's. They go get some air on the pier.
Mm-hmm.
Laura wants to talk about their plan. So they never really did talk about it themselves. Everybody's talking about it to them.
They did have a nice moment where Luke gave Laura his mother's ring.
Yeah, that's the part I meant.
Yeah, and that was really beautiful, and I like that a lot. Although he did take it from Bobby's house, so I don't know how that's going to go over, because Bobby hates Laura.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah.
So, they basically agree that let the town do whatever they want.
Sure.
And as long as they're married, they don't care.
Well, they were never going to get away from it. There was no way that town.
Yeah, seriously.
More and more people are showing up at Kelly's. I think like the people, the dock workers show up and they want to bring fish. And like some guy from a mission shows up with his wife and the people from the missionary want to be involved. Everybody wants to be involved with the wedding.
Yeah. Everybody. Anybody so and everybody.
They're except building Bobby. It up. Well, no, Bobby's just working.
At this point.
Because they call her, like, so, do you want to come? And she's like, I have the night shift. And they're like, well, when do you get off? And she's like, 7 o'clock in the morning tomorrow.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you can't be sick.
That's my shift. So we have this episode actually starts out with Bobby and Noah. She seems all angry at him. And we find out that he apparently cheated on her with this other woman.
Okay, not to be in his defense, because I'm not, and I think he's kind of a scumbag in this episode, but he says to her that we never agreed on fidelity, but they've been dating for months. And
she's been holding off because she's being cautious, but he's just like, I need some ass, and that's where we're at.
But like, clarify, but yeah, clarify that before you start sleeping with people in the hospital. It's not exactly discreet to do that when you're dating Bobby at the hospital, to then sleep with Stacy, who also works at the hospital. Like, it's messy. He's messy. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they end up kind of on good terms by the end of the episode.
I don't understand how.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, I don't either, but at the same time, maybe she's like, okay, I understand. And maybe she's just what she cares about him enough to move on, but if he probably does it again, she's probably like done, you know.
No, because he says to her, he even says to her, I can't promise you fidelity again. He says, because she wanted a 3-month commitment, not even like the rest of your lives, but 3 months.
Yeah,
just focusing on her. And he says, I can't even guarantee you that. And when he says that, I would have been like, well, you're done, because like clearly you don't want to be in a relationship. And I would be worried that if I slept with Noah, that I'd sleep with him. He'd be bored after 5 minutes, and then he'd be sleeping with somebody else if he talks like that.
Yeah, right.
Which is fine if he's upfront about it, but at the same time, like, he knows she wants a relationship. Why is he doing this?
Yeah,
I don't understand him. I don't like him in this episode at all.
But yeah, so. Yeah, so what happens? Noah finds Bobby. She had called his apartment and Stacy had answered. And then they talk about the fidelity. And then she basically says, you know, I wanted to spend the night with you. That's why I was calling.
That makes and him happy. He's like, Oh, really? I'm like, I could have not been banging this other girl. I could have been banging you. Like, ew, Noah, ew.
And they do end up kissing after that. So yeah, it is really strange.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
We also have Lila going to the mayor. I think that's this episode. Lila goes to...
Not this one. Not yet. This one is the one where Lila calls the hospital. Well, Lila talks to Monica and asks Monica who could run her diamond mine. And Monica suggests Robert.
Oh, right. With Robert, yeah. So Robert has multiple things going on right now because he's up for commissioner. I feel like he doesn't apply for anything. They find him, which is kind of funny. Luke's running around trying to find a job, and Robert's having all this shit kind of thrown at him.
Well, like, the mayor wants
literally
him for police commissioner. Somebody else wants him to be basically in a WSB type position. And
Lila wants them. Yeah.
Right. And it's funny because it's an interesting dynamic because we don't see Robert and Monica in scenes together very often.
Mm-hmm.
And the chemistry was nice. I actually liked them interacting. And we also get a bonus of seeing Alan very pissed off about it because he doesn't believe that Lila should be running the company. He doesn't believe that Monica should be involved. And he's starting to think that the Quartermain women have closed ranks and they're all working against him. So it's kind of fun to watch him.
It is.
Like, spiral a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they get trapped in an elevator together and I laughed.
Is that this one where they get trapped?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
The best quote is, oh, you're waiting for me to get out of the house, and now you're waiting for me to get out of the elevator. And I was like,
and Monica's
he's crushing.
Monica's just hitting the button and stuff.
Well, they have the important part about the discussion is that Monica lets Alan know that she's not going to sue for divorce. She's going to make him sue her for divorce.
Yeah.
And he gets upset about that. And because it looks better in court if he's the one being sued.
Yeah. Too funny.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in this in between like the wedding stuff, which just seems to be everybody who's walking in or out of a scene is talking about the wedding, which in real life would happen. It's like the talk of the town. Everybody's gossiping. Yeah. Like Amy's excited about it. Leslie's excited about it. Like even Monica's talking about it. Like everybody is talking about this wedding.
Yeah. Did Heather, when did she get that note about, is that coming up? Oh yeah, that's coming up in the next episode.
It's the next episode. And that is confusing for me because I watched them in the wrong order. I watched part two before part one. It just happens sometimes.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I got for that episode. So if you have anything else.
It might be the very end of that episode where that happens, where she gets the letter, but I think she reads it in the kitchen. The one thing I want to bring up is it's very funny because Robert goes to the front counter in General Hospital, the nurse's station. Bobby and Amy are there and he walks up and he's full of compliments. He compliments Bobby. He compliments Amy. And they're both like, what the hell are you doing here? And why are you seeing Monica? And he's like, oh, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with me. And they keep hassling him. And he's like, fine, I'll go away and get an infectious disease and come back. I wish they were allowed to improv more on the new show because you see it a lot in the old show and it adds a lot of very funny, light moments to things that I kind of miss. Because a lot of those lines, they weren't written. It's just Tristan Rogers riffing. And it was very cute. I liked a lot.
He said he stuck to the script when we met him.
Yeah. He says a lot of things.
I would think he would tell the truth, though.
No. They improvised. I know when Luke was on, they improvised a lot. Because you can see them saying, like, they stick to the script. But there's a line here and there that's like...
Right.
So... Yeah, because there's too much of a freshness to the way they say things. And they filmed very quickly back then. You probably only got one or two shots to get the scene before they were moving to the next one.
So Monica and Robert had lunch together in the cafeteria. She very covered funny. It, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was only $2 back then for whatever they got.
Acted like they were in a war zone. Every time they're in that cafeteria, they're like, I'm sorry about the food.
I honestly don't know where these stories are going. I'm like, is he going to have every job in town?
Well, the offers he has is one, the police commissioner, which is in town. Two, the diamond mine, which is in South Africa. He has to leave for that one. So he's not particularly interested in that one. And three is the one that's interesting to him, which is more spy business. But he would have to move to New York City, which means he'd have to leave town right after the wedding.
So yeah, and I'm like, how far is Port Charles from New York City? I always thought it was like a train ride away, like a quick little...
3 hours, I believe. I'm just going to say 3 hours because like I also feel like they say 3 hours for Landview, but I think it's more like 5 hours for Landview, PA. But time is very confusing and so bland.
Very. Mm-hmm. You never know the time.
I know.
October 27th. We have more of this Luke and Laura wedding talk. Leslie and Amy are talking about it. What will Leslie wear? She's more worried about that. That was a cute scene.
She's hilarious.
Audrey and Tom are talking about the wedding. We have Tom looking. Oh, wait, you know what? Let me see if that's all the wedding talk, I think. And there wasn't too much because there was actually other storyline movement. In this episode.
Yeah, I think I'm early on that Monica and Alan storyline. I think that's in this.
Lila and Monica are talking. That's when we find out Edward is in Paris.
Yeah. He sent a postcard.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. Thinking of you, love Edward.
Was Monica or Alan the one that said that's very descriptive? Like somebody Monica, very Monica. It was very sarcastic. She's just like, oh, how lovely and very descriptive. And I was like, yeah. Man, whoever writes for her is my hero.
Alan, I don't think Alan was around that quite yet. And we have like Lila's learning the business. Monica says she'll talk to Robert. Oh, did we skip ahead? I'm confused.
I think
oh, that's when they meet in the cafeteria. Yeah, we did. That's fine. So that's all we, I mean, so we basically covered that storyline. And then until the Alan comes into it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's when he saw Monica and Robert talking. That's what he calls Lila. Yep.
Yeah, so informative.
That's when they got stuck in the elevator. All right, cool. So we covered all that stuff.
Okay, the one thing, Tiffany shows up in gold pants. Gold pants. Super cool.
Yeah, I made note of that.
in capital letters, I wrote gold pants.
I have it in parentheses. I have Tiffany gets to Robert's gold pants. She was going to solid gold that day.
Yeah, she brought pens
that's
and
when
papers.
That's when we find out about that he's offered the police commissioner interview.
Yes.
I feel like, is that it with them? Yeah, because we talked about the Monica and Robert stuff. All right, so we'll focus on the Heather stuff. Heather gets, she comes down. Rose gives her the letter from Jeff. Mm-hmm. Jeff apparently wants full custody of Stephen Lars. They have a nice moment, I thought. She's like, you know, you got to love yourself before you can love others. And Rose is trying to be good, but Heather's just Heather.
Well, nobody is on... In Heather's mind, nobody is on her side when it comes to the baby. And a lot of that is because Heather's a hot mess and she actually gave the baby away. So once she did that, the town is just like, well, you don't deserve your baby back. And they want the baby to have a stable life. But I get what Heather's saying. Heather's like, I was a mess then. I'm better now. And my child deserves a mother, except she's nuts. So it's kind of like...
Yeah. She's not better.
I don't know if it would be better or not for you to be around the baby. But like
probably she, not.
No. And she's just going from person to person in town and just trying to get someone to help her. And they are like, no, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Which is mean, but I get it.
She goes to Tom and he says no. She says fine, she'll get somebody else to get help her. And then I think she goes to Joe's. Yep. She goes to Joe's. He's like, there's no chance you're going to get full custody with your record, but maybe you can get partial.
he's not saying he won't help her. He's saying
he's trying to give her hope.
Right. Well, he's also trying to be realistic. And he's like, you're not going to get what you want, but maybe we can get you visitation. And Steve Hardy was just like, no, you don't deserve the baby. Go away.
Yeah.
Steve was mean. And I'm like, wow, what did she do to Steve?
So Bobby and Noah are talking, and Noah wants to do something for her special. I'm guessing he just wants to have a romantic evening because he wants to bang. I'm not sure because we don't find out.
He does. And he tells her he's going to give her all the nights of this week. Good job.
And then we have a new character come in, played by Martin E. Brooks from The Bionic Woman and $6 Million Man, who plays Dr. Bradshaw.
Yes.
Is it? Do you remember him?
Arthur Bradshaw. No, I do not. I don't remember him at all.
I was going to say, it's funny because it's almost like they're talking like he's going to be around a while. And I'm like, we started in July of 82 and he wasn't there. So he can't be around that long.
Steve said he was going to be around a while, which I take to mean about 6 months, maybe. But I don't know. I feel like he was brought in mainly as like an obstacle to this dinner that Bobby and Noah were having. Because immediately he's like, I need to take you to dinner and I won't take no for an answer. And Noah's kind of stuck.
And wherever he came from, he said he wants a clean break for his family. So I'm like,
Yeah, because
he has some secret.
He divorced his wife and married a new wife. And then apparently all the friends of his old wife kept running into his new wife and giving her a hard time. So he moved to Port Charles to give Eleanor a clean break. So maybe we'll get more information on him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll be a very short-lived storyline.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that might be all I have for this one.
There's a few
things. Oh, Noah breaks the news to Bobby that he can't see her tonight. She's upset. He begs her. She's like, okay. Like, if, you know, because he said, I'll spend every night with you except for tonight. I never understand why people don't break it up. Like, a dinner is not 5 hours long. Like, why can't you be like, listen, I have plans. I'm going to go out with this dude for an hour and then I'll meet you at your place. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I never understand that in soaps.
I don't know. Like, for me, if I were Bobby and this was going to be our first night together, I wouldn't want to break it up with another dinner with somebody else. Because it just feels like you're then an afterthought. So I get that. This is not an established relationship in that, like, they don't have a sexual relationship yet. So it would be an important evening. I also feel like maybe, like, he could have just been like, I can't make it, but we could still have drinks tonight and maybe discuss how things are going to go for the rest of the week, like touch base with her. But he's just like, I don't know. I feel like it's a career thing. He can't do it because this guy knows his uncles, knows his father. Mm. So like, he can't insult this man, especially since he's another doctor.
So he doesn't like want to rush dinner or anything.
Yeah, probably. I just think it's kind of hard to double book yourself when you want to bang this girl and care. Like, if you just wanted to meet up with Stacy again and like bang, that wouldn't be an issue because Stacy just doesn't seem to have any interest in him other than, you know. So yeah. Bobby, though, he's trying a relationship with, even though everything he says is like, I don't do relationships. But, like, then don't go after Bobby. Leave her alone.
Yeah. Yeah,
I really like Noah came off like a pig in these episodes. Like, I just
didn't, I mean, yeah, he is. Yeah, he probably
it's
is.
Fine. It's fine if you want to like sleep with whoever you want. That's fine. The reason I'm saying he comes off like a pig is because he wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. Like, he wants to sleep with whoever he wants. He doesn't want to make a commitment, but he doesn't want to let Bobby go. That's what I don't like about the situation. And like, I don't know. And everybody's giving Bobby conflicting advice. Like, remember, Ruby's just like, don't play games, which was smart advice. But Luke was just like, sleep with whoever you want, who cares? Because he's a guy, and like, he has none of the consequences of a woman at that point sleeping with a man.
Right. Do you have anything else for that episode? I'm done with that.
No, I think I thought it was really cute when Dr. Bradshaw was at the front desk and Noah introduced Bobby. I think he just keeps wanting girlfriend privileges from Bobby without offering any boyfriend privileges. But anyway, I didn't like how sweet Bobby was to Dr. Bradshaw and how complimentary and how welcoming. And I also thought it was funny that like Steve wanted to be there on time to meet with Dr. Bradshaw, but didn't make it because of Audrey. And he's just so frustrated old man in that moment. He's just like, oh, I wanted to be there to meet him. And Audrey's like, oh, well, I got things to do. And she just abandons him. And then everybody's like, let's meet with Dr. Bradshaw for coffee. And like, Leslie's like, I can do it, but for like 5 minutes, I got to check my schedule.
Did we find out Bradshaw's specialty or doesn't he have one?
I don't know. They didn't say.
Yeah, they didn't mention it.
But he's got to be a surgeon from the respect he was getting and the way people were reacting to his arrival. He's not like a resident if they're going to treat him the way they were treated. Like Steve isn't going to personally show around a new doctor if he's just fresh out of the medical school. Plus, he's an older man. So I'm assuming he's some kind of surgeon or at least a specialist. I don't know.
So October 28th, we have Susan and Alan. Susan and Alan are happy in their cottage. They're talking about the divorce proceedings. They don't really do much in this one, I don't think.
Well, we find out here that Alan has not told Susan that Monica is not going to sue him for divorce. So there's like a little seed of doubt sowed right there.
Yeah.
They also try to have dinner and I think it gets interrupted by work.
He tells Susan that Monica has influence over Lila, so...
Halfway through that conversation, he thinks maybe Lila has too much influence over Monica.
Yeah.
So either way, he does not like it.
Nope. We have Luke's phone is like ringing off the wall. They're getting a lot of telegrams. Laura's going crazy.
Lars says she got a telegram and he yells, only one, because they've been getting so many telegrams.
Yeah. So it's so stupid. Why would they want to meet at Kelly's? I'm like, why would you meet at Kelly's? That's where the town is, like up your ass. Like, why would you go there? That's the last place I would go.
Because it's funny. I thought the same thing. Like, they were like, oh, no. They were like, we can't meet at Luke and Robert's apartment because the phone's ringing off the hook. And we can't meet at Leslie's house because the phone's ringing off the hook. We're like, guys, you should hide at the mall. Like, nobody's there. Everyone knows what you're doing. Like they're not going to leave you alone until the wedding. That's just how it is, unfortunately.
Yeah. Rick wants to talk to Leslie about them, I guess, because they're still, like, trying to work things out. She fills them in on the wedding and stuff. I guess they don't really talk about their relationship. Which I guess is kind of backburnered right now.
Yeah.
Because of Luke and Lars, all that stuff.
Yep, everything's for the wedding.
Luke tells the crowd, do whatever you want. Laura calls Joe, no mail yet. Leslie and Rick talk about where to have the wedding. Luke and Laura come in, they plan dinner together. Laura asks why Rick wants to talk to Luke alone. She tries Joe again. She's really up Joe's ass in these episodes.
Well, because Luke is up her ass.
That's true. But at the same time, like, I'd be like, Joe will call us. Like, stop it.
I think it's really the stress of it. The stress that something could go wrong when they've worked so hard to be together is what's really pushing their behavior right now. And it is kind of crazy. Rose was carving a pumpkin in this, so we're getting
Halloween. I have that too.
I also really like that when Laura tried to call Luke, he answered with a fake accent and then hung up and then immediately called Laura because he wanted to talk to Laura, but it was Laura on the phone that he hung up on.
Yeah.
That was really cute. Like, I'm really enjoying the tiny moments in this.
Yeah, the tiny moments are good. Yeah. But I feel like it takes a lot to get there sometimes. But yeah, this was a good one for that because we have Laura and Leslie are looking at wedding dresses. While Rick and Luke talk, they say he respects him for what he did, you know, over the summer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he says, what are your intentions? he wants to basically know, like, what is he going to do for work and stuff.
Yeah, he gives the shovel talk. He just basically gives him the shovel talk. He's like, what do you want to do with my daughter? Blah, blah, blah. Funny part about this was Leslie, when he wanted to arrange his men talk, she was like, yes, sir, the women folk will just hide themselves in the dark. And she just laughed at him. And I was like, I love how this show often calls out sexism, like shoves it in people's face.
But yeah.
I also really enjoyed Rick and Leslie at the clinic.
Me too.
That felt so real. Like he came back from his guest lecturing or whatever. And Leslie gave him shit. And then immediately they sat down with coffee and gossiped for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought that was so great.
Yeah.
It was so real.
So he basically says, like, he has the money from the Qs and that'll hold him over for a while.
Right.
Joe calls about, they find out that they can't find the decree.
They've lost it, yeah.
They've lost it, apparently. I mean, it still might be in the mail for all they know.
Yes.
And I think that's all I got for that story.
If we get into the Joe storyline, while Joe called, he called Mexico again. He didn't get anyone. Apparently the lines were down. Gail comes in and they talk about how upsetting this is to Lee and they go to lunch. And like when they come back, while they're away at lunch, like the divorce decree comes. It's in the bottom of the mailbag. But
is that Lee in this episode?
It. Yeah. Lee gets, right? This is the 28th?
Yeah.
So Lee is the one who gets it. Joe and Gail go out to lunch. And while they're out at lunch, Mary comes back and Laura calls again. And she's just like, oh, I don't know. Everybody's out to lunch. And then Lee shows up and he's angry. And then she gets Lee a sandwich. And he's still mad. He's super mad. And he's mad because tomorrow is Scotty's birthday.
So yeah, so we got a partial episode. So October 29th is like a partial. It's, I forget, it wasn't very long, maybe like 18 minutes.
Yeah, but it was a lot of Lee.
So yeah, I have Mary is talking. Yeah, a lot of Lee. Mary's talking to Laura on the phone. Lee comes in all mad. Gail calls to see if he's okay. He basically says, "Get off my back." Gail's very worried about him. She talks to Jesse, you know, like getting ideas. Jesse's like, "Why don't you take him to dinner?" She's like, "Yeah, that's a good idea." Lee finds out the news is covering Luke and Laura's shenanigans. Gail calls Lee. And he's not pleased. He's very nasty to her.
He's nasty to everyone.
I have Lee pisses on Gail.
He does.
He can't be. He can't be helped, and he can't help Scotty, so he's very frustrated. Yeah. I still don't have that letter listed for some reason.
So
maybe I missed it. So I didn't write it.
Well, it's important because he gets the letter.
Oh, I know, I know.
He looks at it because he wants to find out where Scotty is. And he finds out that Scotty's in Colima, Mexico. When Joe comes back, he asks Joe one more time where Scotty is, and Joe relents and tells him that Scotty's in Colima, Mexico. And they call Mexico and find out that Scotty has moved, so he can't get a hold of his son. This makes him even 10 times angrier than he is. And when he finds out that Mary wants to leave work early to go get her television from the repair shop so she can watch Luke and Laura, he blows up and basically throws her out of work.
Yeah.
Like, he is furious. And poor Gail is doing everything she can to mitigate how angry he is. And it's only making him angrier.
And the little stuff that happens in this, you have something about Bobby and Ruby. Ruby gets home. She brings out a lava lamp.
So Bobby gets to Ruby's, but Ruby isn't home yet. The neighbor Bobby and tries to wrangle an invitation to the wedding by telling some story about Luke with a slingshot when he was a kid. And right. Ruby clocks it. As soon as they go in the room, she talks to him. She goes, "Oh, would she tell you that story about Luke with his little slingshot trying to get into the wedding?" Bobby's like, she's probably going to be invited anyway. What's the big deal? And she's really excited about this wedding present. And yes, it is a lava lamp. And then they have tuna.
And yeah, she has advice about Noah. We have Noah comes in and he basically says that he can't commit for 3 months.
He sucks.
Yeah, he's douchey.
Isn't Heather in this one? Is this the one where Alice basically tells her daughter that she can't love?
Yeah, Heather's talking to Alice saying she hates her. Alice says she has always been selfish. And apparently we find out that she wrote Anne's name in blood at one point.
With Diana. Her body was found with Anne written in blood next to the body.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing that. We didn't see that, though.
No, we didn't see it. I know it. But
right,
they did mention it. They mentioned that her name was written in blood. Because Heather was like, why don't we think it's Anne? I mean, she was writing Anne's name in the blood. And I'm like, yeah, girl, you did that. You did that. And Alice saw it. Like, I don't want to spoil anything. We'll get to it.
Right.
I know what happens.
All right. So October 30th, this is the last episode we're talking about. Lila announces she can meet in the mayor's home in an hour. Lila gets to the mayor's with Slick, Rose, and Emma, and Mrs. Whitaker there. Everybody, the whole town, I guess, goes everywhere together trying to get this shit done. Slick mentions they want the rotunda for Luke and Laura's wedding. He doesn't see why not. Mayor's wife, Sylvia, comes in. She wants it to be at their house. She's like, just have it here.
So before that happens, when they're still having the meeting before they go to the mayor's house, Slick says that Luke and Laura don't have any enemies, and it like smash cuts to Lee being mad.
Yeah.
I thought that was some of the best, like that was the best cut I've seen in a long time. It was great. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I like when they do that stuff. Now that's all I have. It's mainly focused on the interview that Luke and Laura and Robert and Tiffany are going to have later on.
Right. And it's people trying to, you know, set up the film crew, and they're moving Luke and Robert. Luke and Robert are trying to have an actual conversation about their future and what they're going to do. And Luke is just like, I don't like this being this famous crap. And Robert is just like, hype. He gets hype and it just keeps rolling. And every time they try and settle in and have a conversation, somebody from the TV crew makes them move. So they end up moving, and then they move over again to get like drinks, because they're like, fine, we'll go get drinks. They go to get drinks. A guy walks over and he goes, no, this is going to be where the film crew is. You got to move. And he's like, where the hell is this? It's not a film studio. It's my apartment. What are we doing? And finally, they're like, well, you could go over there and get into makeup. And then they have kind of a funny little interaction where they talk about makeup, and Luke is just like, you really want to cover up this pallid. And so then they go to get makeup, and the guy says to him, he's like, okay, but no, Luke goes, no lashes. And the guy goes, how about some lip gloss? And he's like, I would like that. And then they put him into makeup. And it is really all about this.
Yeah.
Interview. It's about Lee hating them. And
yeah, I was going to say, like, Lee is trying to go everywhere in town to get away from talk about them, and he just can't. There's nowhere he can go. He goes to a bar.
The funniest part is when he goes to that bar and he just sits there for 5 seconds. They start talking about Luke and Laura, and he just gets up and leaves.
Gets up
and leaves. So funny. So funny.
I know. I feel really bad for Lee.
Yeah. I loved the TV interview, though, because it's such a funny situation to see actors acting like they're not actors. And when they smash cut from them talking about the interview to the actual interview going on in the background, they're actually awful on camera. Like, Tiffany is horrific on film. Like, she's so bad. They're like, oh, you're laying it on really thick. And then they show Luke and Laura looking uncomfortable and weird. And it's just such a fun juxtaposition to see, like, these actors who play the characters and then the characters being bad at acting. It's kind of
really silly. Yeah, it is silly. It was fun. But yeah, before Lee ended up at the bar, he and Gail were home or whatever. He's like, you know, you want to put the TV on. Just put it on. Just put on the interview. And he's like, oh, they're making gods of them. He doesn't like talk shit. I like all that stuff.
Gail does try to defend Luke and Laura because apparently Lee was out of town while everyone was freezing to death. So he doesn't have firsthand experience of what was happening in town and what they were actually saved from. So he has none of that goodwill towards Luke and Laura. He is awful to her. He's like, you want to watch it? Put it on. And she's like, I don't care. I just wanted to go to dinner. And he's like, no, put it on. Put it on. And he's being awful. And finally, he storms out. He's like,
he turns the TV off, and she's like, you got to accept what's going on. And he's like, never.
Yeah.
Storms out. That's when he goes to the bar.
Can I tell you that in this, when they were talking to Tiffany and making fun of her, they kept calling her Southern Trash in more and more interesting ways. And in one of them, Robert calls her a Piper Cup from the Piper Cup set. Piper Cups is a paper cup factory. So he was just calling
her. I had no idea.
He was calling her poor and glassless. And then they kept saying she
was a cup.
Yeah, and like a paper cup, like instead of china, she doesn't have fine china or crystal, she has paper cups. And they also say she's from Tennessee and she couldn't afford any clothes. And like they were being awful to her for this entire, she's laughing, right? Because they're her friends, but at the same time, it was like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
It was fun. I liked this episode a lot. I had a good time.
Yeah, it was fun. And it was different from, you know, all the townspeople being around. Although they still were.
Yeah, they were at Lila's. They ended up at the Quartermains after they went to the mayor's. And Lila's just like, oh, well, we could all watch the interview together. I'll order sandwiches. And then Stella just makes them all sandwiches. And then they're toasting and having a good time.
And at the end of the episode, Lee pulls out his liquor and he has the divorce decree and he goes to burn the decree, and that's the end. I'm like, what a good cliffhanger for that one.
Oh, that was epic.
Wow.
And like they do, like that's really like the linchpin of this whole episode is like he could destroy all of this. They're planning weddings, they want to have all this fun, and if he destroys that decree, they're like back to square one. So like, yeah, that was a hella good, and this is Friday, so obviously this is like a good
It's really yeah.
I also like that how Lila gets along with anyone. Like, these people are not like socialites, and she just does not care. I thought that was so fun.
Yeah, it is.
Also, Robert gave the telegram guy a plate as a tip. That was funny. Oh,
yeah. I also have, we find out Tiffany did a commercial for deodorant, and they bust on her about that.
30-second Italian deodorant commercial. And then I believe Robert is the one. No, Luke says to her,
Luke,
it is awkward when your first appearance on television is your underarms. And I thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, what else? This was really just kind of like a lot of fun. I kept writing hate watching for Lee. I was like, he was hate watching the video.
Yeah, he was. The townspeople decide that they need someone to organize them, so they put Rose in charge. And Slick, I think. Rose and Slick seem to be the ones that are going to get shit organized. And by the way, I just watched January episode of GH recently, just yesterday, the other day. And they mentioned Beecher's Corners, so I was like, oh, yeah. I haven't heard it mentioned.
Never goes for a away. While. General Hospital never goes away.
I think Liv mentioned it.
A few things, like Jeremy is a huge Luke Spencer nerd. He has a scrapbook.
Yeah.
And he was going to record the interview and transcribe it for his scrapbook so he could do a book report on it.
And Jeremy's Anne's son, right?
Yeah, Anne's adopted son, yes.
Adopted son. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I liked that. I thought that was really cute. I also was when Lila offered to cater the wedding and they decided to do potluck. What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's so much work and you literally want to bring like what, a peach cobbler? What's happening here?
Right. And then like they know it's going to be like a huge wedding. So how much they're going to make 400 peach cobblers for every, like they're going to have to everybody bring a lot of everything, you know what I mean? It's not like just one little dish that they're going to be bringing.
And but one more.
I'm sure we'll see over the course of the next couple weeks. You know, like, how it's going to turn out. I'm excited to see.
Okay. One note about fashion. Luke is wearing pink pants when they're watching the interview.
I didn't notice the color.
Amazing. They're super pink. They're like a little salmon-y, but they're really, really, he's wearing pink pants. He's wearing pants and like a black like sweatshirt type deal. And also Lee drinking is a huge deal. He's been sober for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was yelling at the TV, don't do it, man. And then when he pulled out that handle of, was it either gin or vodka, because it was clear. And he just, he slammed it onto the table and it was still cold. So I don't know where he got it from, but it was frosty. And then he poured himself a glass that was like a whole 8-ounce glass. He took one look at it and he pounded it. And I was like, oh no. Cause you can control.
He's basically, he's very guilt ridden for Scotty because he feels bad for Scotty. Scotty's not letting him talk to him. So yeah, he's basically imploding. If Scott probably were to call, he probably would have been a little bit less like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just building up and building up, and he's just done, dude. He's like, fuck these guys. They are not getting married under my watch.
Yeah, he hates them because of what they've done to his son. And a lot of that is fueled by his own guilt because of how tempestuous like their relationship is to begin with. Like, he and Scotty never get along the way Lee wanted them to. Lee always wanted to have Baldwin and Baldwin. Like, that was his dream. And it never worked because Tim and Scotty just cannot get along I don't think they really start to get along until the 90s, maybe the early 2000s. Like, it takes a long time for their relationship to settle out.
Yeah.
Because Lee goes back and forth between being 100% supportive of Scotty and calling him a villain. So it's really weird.
And where the hell is Scotty? Did he leave the show for a little bit? Because he hasn't been on at all.
He's in Mexico. I don't know where he is.
Well, no, he cleared out of Mexico, too. And I don't know where he went. He cleared out of his room, remember?
Is that just like Kim? Because, like, you know, Kim Schreiner, like, leaves the show for months at a time to go do other things or even just to chill in Florida. So, I don't know. We'd have to do research on that. I don't really pay attention to their, you do more than I do, like, their real lives. Like, I'm always just hyped for the characters and hope their lives are going well. Like, it's none of my business.
Well, it is our business when they're on social media now. It's very much our business.
I mean, we don't have to know. We can know if they want us to know, but I try not to dig too deep into their private
life. I love Ken as a person. He's very fun, and I like that he loves Turner Classic Movies and stuff, and he's always posting about that, and he's always posting like black and white videos. Like, he likes the old school stuff. And
he was very funny.
Me and Ken would get along.
when we saw him, we saw him with Tristan and with Lynn Herring. He was very funny, and his stories are always a great time. So, like, I think he's a wonderful person, and he was really fun to meet. And I love him. I think Scotty is one of the better characters that have ever been written on this show. He's really fun.
All right. Well, do you have anything else to add to these episodes, or are we done for today?
I think there's a lot of things going on in the background that are all just basically backburnered to the wedding. We're getting breadcrumbs on all the other storylines while this wedding planning settles out. So it's kind of hard to, like, it's kind of hard not to be annoyed with the wedding planning because we're watching it all too closely together. You're watching five in a row instead of like one a day.
Right.
So it's kind of like, okay, yay, they're getting married. Okay. But like, this is a big event. Like, we're missing the buildup to this wedding.
Right.
This is like 3 years of storyline to get to this wedding. So it's all all warranted, but we're jerks from the future. So we're just like,
yeah. All right. Well, the wedding's coming soon. I would think in the next two or three. Thanks for joining us today with Queers and Soaps. We'll bring you more GH in the future. Subscribe, like, and comment on whatever we're doing. We would love comments. Comment on stuff, please. We want to know what you thought of GH. If you watched back then, or if you like Luke and Laura, or whoever else, let us know. Have a good one, everyone. Bye-bye.